Welcome to G.L. Horton's Stage Page. Today is Sunday, the 18th of February, 2007. Today we have a short study of G.L.'s full-length play, The Prophet Freeman. Three pieces, one early, another a bit later, and a third from later still. The play's eponymous character seems to be a hayseed messiah who organizes desperate Midwestern farmers into God's patriotic army to fight greed and corruption. Then we come to Act Two. Well, we don't. You'll have to go see the play in order to get that far. Still, before we go there, let's catch up on what's happening around Boston this week. Despite the inclement weather, this weekend's openings included Speakeasy's Almost Maine, a small-town comedy at the BCA, and the Lyric Stage's Boston premiere of Souvenir, a fantasia on the life of Florence Foster Jenkins, featuring Will McGarahan. The last free reading at the New Rep is Wendy Kesselman's The Black Monk, a chamber musical, on Monday. The ART's revival of Neil Barrett's 2004 adaptation of Dickens' Oliver Twist will open on Wednesday. It features a large cast of locals and Brits and has an original score based on period music hall themes. Next weekend, Mill 6 is opening Mark Chun's Match at the Devon Awe in the Piano Factory and Janet Kenny's Teresa at Home at the BCA. Both shows are local premieres. For reviews by Will Stackman, go to On the Isle at profwill.spymac.com. Recently, Katie Curley contacted me asking me if I still needed readers. I said yes, of course. Katie has been doing theater for the past decade and will be doing James and the Giant Peach starting at the end of March at the Stadium Theater in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. She'll only be a local actress until she heads west to seek fame and fortune. We got five readings done, two of which go with the longer monologue delivered earlier on a CD from a master storyteller who prefers to remain anonymous. Geraldine is the third reader. We'll start with a piece introducing the ladies as associated with a small Midwestern newspaper. Go to the preacher, then swing back to the ladies again. All three are taken from the full-length play, The Prophet Freeman.
So, can you come up with a few more tidbits?
I suppose I can. As long as I don't have to be funny. I think I've been funny as often as I can manage this week.
Just do what you can. Hawkman pulled his ad, says he's probably bankrupt. Leaves me with a little hole in the week's edition and another hole in the operating budget.
Means you owe me extra.
You know I'd pay if I could, Mary Lee. Rate the paper's losing
what you can do for me, Sarah May. What I'd like for you to do is let me write a piece on the militia. Investigative piece. Long as I want. You run it as a feature.
I'm not printing any piece that makes us out to be right-wing loonies here. Some of the most respected citizens...
Let me do it and show you. That's all I'm asking, Sarah May.
To you and me, maybe, the militia looks ridiculous. Little boys playing soldier, marching around making noise. But if you want to make fun...
They're dangerous. Guns and more guns. And kids no bigger than 10 thinking they should be on it.
Our people know how to handle guns, Mary Lee. I got a .22 myself, and Frank's got one on.
For possum! Not for threatening the sheriff's deputies.
You know as well as I do that was a stunt. It worked, didn't it? Ralph Pratt's buddies bought him some time. Forced the bank to reconsider.
So now the militia's all fired up, convinced they can win.
More power to them. Such an innovation as bad as this is.
You gonna print that?
In sight, right? Of course not. The Bugle will... die quietly, doing its duty. Responsible citizens of this soon-to-be ghost town.
Is that bad?
Look at Main Street.
Everybody can see Main Street. I thought you might have access to inside information.
I might, if I had the heart to think about it. What we need in these depressing times is distraction, Mary Lee. Tidbits about our neighbors. Our own local episode out of the X-Files.
I aim to please.
You want to be my prize reporter? Get me a follow-up on the story in this week's Star. Says there's a kook off of a flying saucer landed right here in Lucas County.
There's what? Wait, I got a copy when I was in the checkout. Didn't look at it careful, though.
Carefully.
Carefully. Hold on. Yeah, here it is. UFO beams down salvation, Prophet says. You're right. This Jay Freeman's preaching less than 30 miles from here.
How'd you like to get that story?
Sounds a mighty ambitious for the Bugle.
Advertising's down 62%. Gotta get more ambitious, or just fall up. You chase this down?
You bet.
Beat the Journal to it? There may be something in our files.
Well, you dig up anything you can, and I'll get right on to it.
Whoa there! First things first. Finish writing your tidbits column. I'm holding the issue. Then be a star reporter.
Brothers and sisters, I know you must be asking yourselves and wishing you had the nerve to ask me, what's that funny-looking fellow doing up there? What makes him think he can preach? Well, I don't blame you. I can't exactly make out how it happened myself. Certain things have been made known to me about how all the olden days and these latter days fit together, and I got to try to make these things known unto you. You see, my friends, in the garden, that is, before the sons of Cain got a tiny bit smart and decided to cut themselves out from the other animals, there was no problem. Adam picked a little fruit, stole some eggs, maybe got a rabbit if it wasn't fast enough. 100,000 years or so, Adam's son figured out that if he piled up a bunch of nuts, there'd be days he wouldn't have to go out and chase rabbits. Now for a squirrel with nuts, this is not a dangerous discovery, but satanic man, before you can say Sodom and Babylonia, he's piling it on, piling it up, under the influence of usury. Cain's boy has got his fences and his chattel, and he's looking at his neighbor with covetousness, wanting to add him and his to the pile. The prophet arranges objects on the lectern for a show-and-tell illustration of his points. Now, the universal design so far had been for synergy, input, output, a stable system. But that's not enough. The sons of Cain wanted organized, so it's all output, and man won't have to give back. Not even his used-up old dead carcass. He saves, he hoards. Now, once he's learned to save, he figures, he can be saved. Live safe, and live forever. From Pharaoh on down, everybody's got to scratch just to keep from being turned into the next fella's commodity. Grab onto that water, that energy, sweat, slaves, gunpowder, oil, nuclear, and the condensed kind, the false coin of Caesar Mammon that makes the bankers call money. Prophet takes a handful of $100 bills out of his pocket, displays it to the congregation's astonishment, crumples and squeezes it until it vanishes. The user squeezed that life energy into paper money, and that's how they put the squeeze on you. Bankers and politicians, taxes and interest, brokers and hucksters, always with their hands out for more, drain the life blood right out of the farmer, carpenter, the honest businessman. Get their hooks into oil and gas, too. All a poor man's got left is the labor of his hands, 'cause the bloodsuckers tap off all that God-given energy. For a while, the bloodsuckers fool you, hire liars like our state representative Busick there. Try to look like they're on your side. Make you pretty speeches about how you're the backbone, you're the breadbasket, but when you're in trouble, what do? Sell you fertilizer, sell you pesticides on credit. You get a big crop, 3 times the size the crop your grandpop had, 6 times. But all along the soil's wearing out, and the pollution's getting stronger. Where are you going to sell that big crop anyways? The Sons of Cain own them all. Dealers, government, what can you get for it? The $100 bills reappear. Freeman tears them into little pieces and throws them into the air to illustrate his point. Don't worry, my friends, that was a trick. Nothing of value there, just blank paper. I mean bank paper. Worse than toilet paper. Contracts not worth the printing on them. See, a real contract, a covenant like God made with Abraham, is a promise to give value on both sides. Your bankers, your tyrant oligarchical government, never intend to keep that promise. If you could see through their tricks, when you got that so-called loan, you'd tear it up and throw it away, like I did. It's all a plan to get your land. And when they get it all, what do you think will be the price of bread then? By the time the government's done, there won't be a real farm left. Be one big farm factory, maybe two, Republican and Democrat. They got experts on the payroll. Tell you it's nobody's fault. Economic forces. But economics isn't a force of nature like gravity. It's a force of man like a gun. Somebody loads it. Somebody aims it. Somebody like you, well, so far the law will let you protect yourself. Put up one hell of a fight. You see, friends, we were put here to prove ourselves fit. Fit to survive. Fit to inherit the earth and all its abundance, fit for the galaxies and all their glory. We failed before the time of the flood when we went whoring after false gods. We failed in the old countries when we bowed our heads to tyrants. But the power that watches never gave up on us. We were shown the way out, shown how to sail to this promised land. Land of the second chance, land of the free, home of the brave, last best hope of mankind. Once America is purified, once we show that we can live together as a family, in liberty and law, then the sky's the limit, and we're home free. Children were free, free 'cause we got a home beyond the stars.
What are you trying to tell me? He's either a loony or he's the second coming. Now, which is it?
Come on. When you run a story on Baptists, you don't try to settle whether they're right or the Methodists are.
Not the same.
All I know is what I saw and what he told me.
Not enough. I want us to be able to take a stand.
How can I, when I don't know what I think?
If you swallowed this, I'd say you don't think at all.
You weren't there. You didn't hear him.
Black and white, the guy's too loopy to be running loose. That's our story. Not the peculiar quirks in his prophetic doctrine, but the fact that he's running loose. I don't mean to hurt your feelings with your friends and all.
If I were sure myself, I'd say go ahead and make them laughing stocks. Shame them out of it.
Yeah, about twice a year I take communion. Body and blood of Christ? Well, maybe not. But I feel something. Connected, I guess, to my grandparents and millions of other people over 2,000 years. Who needs a new religion?
Unless it's true.
Maybe they're all true. Merrily, you got a hold of a great story here. But it's got to be an expose. I suppose I should turn it over to Brad now. Oh, I'm tempted to dig in myself.
Oh, don't give it to Brad. I don't mind if you work on it, Sarah May. In fact, I wish you would. I'd like to compare notes, but you'll never get in without someone to vouch for you. And you run a story, especially a negative. We'd never...
All right, I'll wait. You act like... Yeah, like maybe you're going to convert. You might get close enough to find out what's really going on.
I don't know if I could fool my friends.
It's for their own good. Unless you want to drop it and run. Get clean away. Go to your mother's and tell Frank and his buddy you'll get back together when they've come to their senses.
You don't think Frank's one of them?
Isn't he? I'm not going to argue. I'd rather for the Bugle's sake you were right in the thick of it, taking notes. But I've got to warn you, I don't think the Prophet's a harmless old fool anymore, or even a two-bit con man. He's armed and dangerous, and he ought to be stopped.
I wish I could explain. Didn't any of it come through in what I wrote? There's a kind of danger around him, it's true, but it's bigness. The world is a bigger, more mysterious place once you've met him, and it's wide open. Frank and I, we've never even been to Chicago, and suddenly we've been touched by greatness.
You're touched, all right.
Oh, give it to Brad.
No, wait. I trust you. You'll keep on till you get at the explanation.
Even if there isn't one?
Oh, trust me. There is.
You can subscribe to this podcast through the iTunes Store or your Yahoo or Google accounts. If you'd rather not subscribe, you can go straight to glhorton.podomatic.com or to the player on the Playwrights page at www.stagepage.info/podcast. Any of these options provides full access to all the shows we've done. Going to the Playwright site offers the additional advantage of allowing you to read the scripts for the monologues we perform for you. Use of these monologues is free for use in the classroom or in auditions, with attribution, of course. Please tell your friends where you found them, and let us know you're using them. Send emails to g.l.horton@mindspring.com.
And that's it for one more week of G.L. Horton's Stage Page. We'd love it if you'd take the hint from our anonymous reader and sent us your take on a monologue or a short one-act. Send it off to g.l.horton@mindspring.com and we'll work it into our show. Or send us an email asking where you can mail the CD. Any short piece found on www.stagepage.info will do just fine. Until next week.